About 9 days until the regular season of baseball starts. I am excited. I'm Nick Z. You can find me at Twitter at NZanaboni93. You can also give us a shout out everywhere you are. You can tweet us, all that stuff. We'll probably answer. Dave might not. He's a little old. He's a little slow on the Twitter, but that's fine. We are the On Deck Circle podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Six Pack. I need my guy Jason in here. I'm not going to talk about the Celtics. I'm not. I promise. I am, however. I showed you this at the beginning. The Gareth popcorn. I'm gonna do just a live taste again. I feel like this might be like the third time this happened. This will be my last time eating it because my sister is moving back from Chicago.
Oh, no more. I'll have to send you some buckets of Gareth popcorn.
You will.
The Chicago mix is unmatched.
It is the only type of popcorn you can get there, if we're being honest.
Yeah. But nobody goes there to get butter popcorn.
Yeah. Did you enjoy your weekend?
Yeah, you know what? I actually just had a super long weekend. I'm back. It was the kids' spring break, so we took them up to the you're not really familiar with the Midwest. There's something called the Wisconsin Dells, and it's like Vegas, but for kids. In the Midwest. So it's just like hundreds of water parks, a big long strip, just like Vegas, full of like, you know, water parks and touristy traps and stuff like that. So we were there for the last like 5 days. So
nice.
Yeah, man. So nice and relaxed. Tired. Yeah, I'm tired. The kids are back in school. So it's like a little bit of time to catch up on some sleep and stuff like that. So
good. So when are you back to work tomorrow?
No, I've been back. I've been back. Unfortunately. Well, but I had like 4 days off, 5 days off from work. So.
Okay.
Fully rested.
Yeah, I was sick on Thursday. Like, I had a 101 temp. I tested negative for COVID. It was my first sick day in 3 years at my job.
perfect attendance over here.
Yeah, that's me. But let's bring Dave in because he's probably going to say we don't have perfect attendance here because your bedtime's at 9 p.m.
You know, Nick, you want to know what I was thinking?
What?
I was thinking the longer you run your mouth about Jason's fucking weekend at Wisconsin Dells, the less bachelor talk you get. So,
yeah.
So listen, I love Wisconsin Dells. I mean, miniature golf like crazy.
Yep.
Ripley's, believe it or not.
Yep.
Wax Museum. I mean,
wow.
Dude, you know I've been to Wisconsin Dells.
Yeah, it's like literally the Vegas of Midwest in the Midwest for kids.
Yeah, it's cool.
And adults alike.
Yeah, it's definitely a spot where you can take, you know, age appropriate because you don't want to take like your 2-year-old there, it'll be hell.
Yeah.
But you know, you got like a 7-10-year-old or something, like that's like awesome. That's about the age I was there, so I can speak from experience. All right, Nick, I'm gonna put a little timer up here. Not really, but in my head.
Okay.
I'm gonna give you a solid 3 minutes for bachelor.
What? I would give him like 90 seconds.
No,
he's heard it in 3 minutes. So
I can either let you just start or I can ask you a genuinely curious question.
This conversation is going to start right now, and I'm going to start it. Can you tell me who the host is for The Bachelor?
I could pick them out of a lineup.
I know that one of them got in trouble for some
former
got NFL canceled or something. Oh, yeah. Like
a quarterback.
Yep.
Palmer, right? Palmer?
Nope.
Palmer?
Jesse Palmer. Is that his name? Yes.
I think so.
He played for like the Giants or something, right?
Yep, exactly. The only reason I know that is because he was like the backup to Kerry Collins in like Madden 2007 or something. All right. So Jesse Palmer is the host.
Mm-hmm.
This past season, there's going to be spoilers here. Just so everyone knows.
One, 3 weeks ago. 1 minute. 1 minute.
His down? Pass. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Clayton. He's an absolute dink. He's from the Midwest.
And hey, okay.
Down he's got to property in Wisconsin Dells.
He's down to three girls, and it's fantasy suite week, so he bangs them all. Which is,
I would have done like a foursome and then like just slowly weeded them out until you got one left.
Yeah, wait, actually, no, I lied. He banged two of them, and then the third girl goes, "Did you sleep with the other girls?"
She's out then. So
and then he goes, "Yes, but I'm gonna pick you." And then she said,
"What? Whoa, this guy's a moron."
So then She leaves. He's devastated. And then he
should have kept his dick in his pants.
Well, that's essentially what the girl said. And he said, well, you didn't have, well, you never explicitly told me you didn't want me to sleep with the other girl.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Well, then he goes to the other girl saying, I can't pick you because I love this girl. So he leaves Iceland alone and single. After the show is over, this girl that wouldn't bang him texts him, and now they're dating.
Boom. Oh, that's not going to last.
Nope.
Do they ever? Do they ever? I don't even know what the success rate of that show cannot be very high.
And next, there's going to be two bachelorettes in one house.
Twice as many guys or same number of guys?
We don't know that yet. They cannot put the girls like against each other because that would be bad. Like, it'd be good.
No, that. Yeah. Oh, man. That's interesting. Okay, well, you still got compelling. Like 30 seconds.
Compelling stuff here.
Will Smith smacked the shit out of Chris Rock.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth.
What a wild, wild scenario that was. I thought for sure that was 100% staged. What? And I still, almost to this day,
like, oh,
people are like, Springer.
That was wild.
Oh, my God. Oh, wait a minute. Let's see here. We have a comment. It looks like somebody, well, I can't tell. Are those hands or is that like gas, like somebody's farting?
Maybe.
I think
their hands waving. Yeah, they're waving to us. What's up?
Wave to Rachel. Female
demographic just went up because I talked some Bachelor.
Yeah, look at that. Hey,
good job, Nick. We got ones of viewers.
Let's go.
There we go.
All right. Speaking of ones of viewers, let's get to this shit here. We're doing. Hey, by the way, this is our 50th episode. I thought you didn't lead with that, Nick.
Wow.
I didn't know.
Yeah, man.
I didn't know.
50th episode. As Jason pointed out, I think in our group chat, we are basically right around the 1 year mark of when we started doing this together. So that's kind of crazy.
We got to have something planned for the 1 year anniversary.
Yeah. And if we've only done 50 episodes and it's been a year, then that means we've missed something. We're missing a couple of episodes, but let's get into what we're here for. We're doing preseason awards. So we are going to be doing this from a real life perspective. Because I just think that makes more sense. And so we're going to start off Rookie of the Year, NL and AL. We're going to do Cy Young, and then we're going to go to MVP. So, Jason, I'm actually going to go first here because I truly think that we have the same person. If we do, then I will just let you go ahead and do the chit-chat. And if not, then I'll say my piece a little bit, okay?
Yep.
So my 2022 NL Rookie of the Year choice is Seiya Suzuki. Of the Chicago Cubs.
He was one of the ones that I was going back and forth on, and I actually didn't go with him.
Okay, well, in that case then, this is one that I was waffling on a little bit, because to be dead honest with you, I wanted to do Bryson Stott. That was the guy that in my head, that's exactly who I was going to do. And then I'm looking and I said, you know what? I don't know when Stott's going to get called up. And honestly, I don't really obviously know how he's going to do, but we don't know how any of these guys are going to do, Suzuki included. However, I know that Suzuki's going to come up on day one, opening day. He's going to be hitting in the middle of that lineup. There is almost no chance in the world that he gets an option to the minors and might end up being his contract to allow that. So I'm kind of taking the safe, low-hanging fruit. I literally have money on Seiya Suzuki to win the NL MVP. I think he is by far the most likely, even though oddly enough, his odds are not number one. A guy who got demoted to AAA today, O'Neal Cruz, has the number one betting odds, but I still think Suzuki is the guy. Who are you going with then, Jason?
Yeah, like I said, I waffled on this one too. I really wanted to take Seiya, and then I was like, he's obviously, I think he will win it, but I'm going to go a little bit on a limb. Somebody just brought up, I think it's going to be O'Neal Cruz. You know, he was just sent down. However, I think, you know, he'll be back up sooner rather than later. And I think this guy can easily go on and hit 20, 25 bombs, even in the, you know, let's call it 300-400 plate appearances. Compile 100 plus, RBIs and runs. So, I think I'm going to go with O'Neal Cruz on the and I also thought of Stott too, but I don't know when Stott will be up. They have, you know, both Gene Segura and Didi Gregoria. So I don't know where he would sit in that lineup. So I stayed away from him. But I think if he gets the plate appearances, I think Stott has a really good chance as well.
And he could make the opening day lineup, I suppose. But obviously, yeah. The problem is they can't put him at DH because you know they're loaded with DH caliber guys. So he's either going to take a spot from somebody, and he probably will at some point. I just don't
right.
know who it's going to be. But what do you got, Nick? NL
Bryson and Stott.
No, is it okay?
Yeah,
nice.
Mostly just because. So he's been playing third, and I feel like that could be his Stott.
Okay. All right. Bachelor talk and puns. If you tuned in for that, you hear.
He's been unreal this spring. He's been 533 with this is going to be a dumb question. OPS. How do you say OPS?
OPS.
OPS.
No, I'm saying like so. It's 1.450. What do I
say? I say 1,000. Whatever it is.
So. Yeah. Okay, his OPS is 1,450. That's fucking crazy. I don't know how to say it, but I know that's good.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a crazy low sample size, so it doesn't,
1,000%. It is the smallest sample size.
However, I would rather it was, I would rather it was 1,450 than 450. So, I say the same thing. The same thing I say about minor league stats is take them with a huge grain of salt. However, I'd still rather they were good than bad. Like, I'm not going to look at a guy hitting 100 and say, oh, no, he's great. But I also can't look at a guy hitting 700 and say, well, it's been 10 plate appearances. We got 7 hits. Like, so.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go AL Rookie of the Year. Which one of you fine, handsome gentlemen want to start? Nick.
All right. We're going with AL East.
Okay.
Josh Lowe.
My
only issue with him, like Stott, is where is he going to play? But he's someone that I think has just been criminally underrated. Like going into this year is the first time I really heard how good he was. And he's really fucking good. He has the power speed combo. He's going to be able to hit in that lineup. He just needs to be in that lineup every day for him to get it, which is literally all of these Rookie of the Year candidates. If he can break camp, which I don't know if he can, he might. He is an easy favorite for me.
Yeah, I do really wish that the CBA would have made it a little bit, I don't know, for lack of a better term, easier to see these prospects right away. I know that they did something, but I don't think that it's much. It ties wasn't into. Enough. Now it ties into if they finish in the top, 3 or 5 or something in the Rookie of the Year balloting, like a draft pick is included. I don't think that's worth, a couple million dollars to owners. So I don't know. I have to really sit down and think about a better solution to that problem, but the problem still fully exists. And I'll be really curious to see what'll happen this year. Because guys are now, we're getting to the point where they're starting to get sent down. Like I said, O'Neill Cruz got sent down a couple hours ago. And I could go through other names, but I can't think of any off the top of my head. We're getting to be about a week away. So we're going to start to see all of a sudden all these guys, get dumped. So it'll be interesting if it's any different. I honestly don't know that it will be. But maybe we'll see a couple extras. I can use that to segue into my guy. Probably a little bit of a homer pick here. I am going with Riley Green. And I'm going
so with I
Riley
picked too.
Did you?
Yep.
So I'm going with Riley Green, A, because I thought that one of you guys was going to go Julio Rodriguez for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Julio Rodriguez is maybe superior is a big term, but I think he's a significantly better player than Riley Green is. However, even if we're looking at it from a fantasy perspective, unless, J-Rod comes out and absolutely is, hitting the ball well, he doesn't have the same, floor that Riley Green has, especially as a rookie. Because even if Riley Green is struggling, he's going to get on base and he's going to steal some bags. He's not going to sit there and, steal you 30, 40 bags. But, he could get you 20, especially if he's playing decently. He plays the whole year. I'm not sure which one of those two has a better chance of making the opening day roster. I mean, Julio Rodriguez is absolutely bombing, spring training right now. Riley Green is right on his heels, so both of them have a chance. Mariners' offense is better. Julio Rodriguez is better. I went with Riley Green because I was sure one of you two was going to take Julio Rodriguez.
Whoops. Yeah, just to keep going on that point, another one I waffled with. Rookie of the Year, it's a little bit hard because, like you said, you can just pick any random 20 different guys, and you know this is going to be my guy. But I went ultimately with Riley Green because I agree with you. I think the floor is a little bit safer with Riley Green. I think he's going to get on base, going to steal double digit bags. He's obviously going to can hit 15 to 20 home runs. As far as real life Rookie of the Year voting goes, I think he does more of that safe stuff that the voters look for versus fantasy purposes. J-Rod might actually get that nod, but I went with Riley Green too because I think it's the safer of the two.
Yeah. All right.
Josh Lowe is currently plus 9,000.
Yeah, I mean, even Suzuki's plus 450. Yeah. I got him at. I think Riley Green was plus 1,200 or something. The Rookie of the Year, we talked about before we went on, I literally could make a list of probably 20, 25 names that I could easily argue and mm-hmm. have a legitimate solid path to winning the award. The next two aren't quite like that. There's literally probably only so many guys here, maybe what, 5, 8, maybe 10 guys you could argue for each one of these awards at most. That doesn't mean that those guys are guaranteed to be one of the guys that win it, but it would take a lot for John Means to win the AL Cy Young. Is it possible? Yeah, it's possible. Yeah. But that's tough. So let's get into the Cy Young, Jason. Why don't you go ahead and hit me with your 2022 NL Cy Young winner?
All right, so this one, I was going to stick. I don't know if anyone read we have our bold prediction series over there at the website, FNA Six Pack, and we were tasked with bringing up some, bold predictions. I was going to stick with my bold prediction of Max Fried getting 20 wins and winning the Cy Young. However, I was that's almost too bold for this show, so I kind of backed it up a little bit. And I said, I'm going to go with more of a safer option and say Walker Buehler finally gets over that hump and gets that Cy Young Award. He gets that 20 wins and that stacked lineup behind him. He has the strikeout totals already. We've seen him strike out 200 plus, which, the voters obviously like. I just think he finally puts it all together. The problem, I think, with the NL, though, is there's just so many top aces in the NL.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard. It's almost like when we go back to 2015 when it was Arrieta had that one run and then Kershaw had 300 strikeouts. I think we're going to get something along those lines this year. When you got Woodruff, Burns, Buehler. There's just so many guys. Zach Wheeler. It's that NL Cy Young race is going to be, I think, the hardest one to pick from.
Can't hear you, Dave. Or I can't hear. Can you hear
me? No.
I'm good. I'm an idiot again. So I would say I'll make mine quick because Jason has my guy. So I also think Walker Buehler. I'm a huge Walker Buehler fan, as you may remember from one of our mock drafts where I took Walker Buehler 6th or 7th overall and people lost their shit. this is going to be a little bit of a spoiler alert and it'll make more sense when I get into my other picks. But I think the Rookie of the Year is very different than the Cy Young and MVP. Rookie of the Year could go to somebody on the worst team in baseball. The Cy Young and MVP are almost assuredly not going to somebody like that. I mean, the Cy Young, maybe a little bit. You can go to kind of a guy on a shitty team. MVP is going to a guy that at least made the playoffs, almost certainly won mm-hmm. the division. And so I think that's a huge advantage for a guy Walker Buehler, where, the Dodgers are almost assured to be making the playoffs. As much as I love some of the Brewers pitchers who probably in reality are at least as good, if not better, I don't know that the Brewers are going to make the playoffs. So if I'm giving you my realistic, who do I think is going to win? Who do I actually have money on? It's Walker Buehler.
All right. Agreed. Mine is interesting. We're going with Sandy Alcantara.
I swear to God, it was for me, it was between Alcantara and it was between Walker Buehler.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely. Awesome. It was. Right. It came down to the Marlins are not making the playoffs.
Exactly.
And the Dodgers are. That was the only reason that I went that way.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That makes me feel better then. But what was so? To be honest, I never really looked into Sandy's numbers from last year. I just knew he was good.
Yeah, he's really good.
I saw he was 9-15.
Yeah, that's the problem. Reason
why he won't win the Cy Young. But his ERA was a 3.19. So like, he's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Once, like, the Marlins should be better this year. I don't know if it's gonna get him over.
I mean, Derek Jeter does not agree with you. So for Sandy Alcantara to win the Cy Young, probably it's gonna take a scenario like when Felix Hernandez won it a while back, where his numbers, not wins and losses, but just his ratios are just so much better than everyone else's that you look at him and go, God, right, man, like, how do you not get? Yeah, he's 9-15, but boy, his ERA is so much lower. He's got so many more strikeouts, and that's probably just not going to happen, because that would mean a lot of guys in the NL would have to not have great seasons as well. And you know somebody is going to. So I love Sandy Alcantara, and he's a good pick, Nick. I just don't know if realistically there's a chance for him to win that award. That's the problem. But no, it's good. It's good. Literally, that was
nice. Okay.
That was my 1B.
Okay.
All right, let's move to the AL, and I'll go ahead and I'll start with this one, because this is probably the most off the wall that I have, but it goes in line with what I said. I think that these awards go to guys that are going to be on the best teams. I hate to say it, but I think that the White Sox are going to dominate the AL this year, specifically dominate the AL Central. And so I can see Cease racking up. Oh, I didn't even tell you who it was. It's Dylan Cease.
I literally have the same guy. And I thought when I picked it, I did. Because go ahead. You can just continue.
Well, I was just going to say, I think Dylan Cease is obviously a great pitcher to begin with. He's got some stiff competition. I mean, Gerrit Cole is the betting favorite, and Gerrit Cole is the most likely to win this award. However, if the White Sox go out there and they win 110 games, and Dylan Cease has 20 wins and a, very respectable, 3.2 ERA and, a 1.10 whip, and he strikes out 225 guys, even if Cole's numbers are similar, that's a much tougher division. And the Yankees may not win that division. I mean, they might, they might not. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine the White Sox don't. So it's a little bit out there to some people, but other people love Dylan Cease. So I don't know. You want to add anything to that, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, this one was the AL. Other than Gerrit Cole, I mean, you look down the list of, competitive teams and what their aces look like and stuff, I honestly could not find a clear-cut favorite other than – and then even Gerrit Cole, we've seen him struggle in the past. Not like he's penciled in and guaranteed to win that award. We've seen him struggle, especially with the Yankees.
Stream may have wrote a anti-Gerrit Cole article once upon a time.
Yeah. And we already seen Dylan Cease compile the strikeout numbers. He can easily get to 250 strikeouts. I think he had 225 last year. He can definitely get 20 wins with that team. I don't think there's any reason why, as long as he can cut back on the walks. The walks have always plagued him, the command, but we've already seen him make those adjustments and cut down on the walks in 2021. So if he can continue to do that again in 2022, there's no reason why he can't. You know, there's always those guys that come out. Like, look at Robbie Ray. He came out of nowhere last year to win the Cy Young. So, yeah. I mean, you definitely could see. That's why I went ahead and picked Dylan Cease as well.
All right. We're staying in the AL East for the AL Cy Young.
Nick, I do want to, if you're okay with it, I do want to guess yours. Is that okay?
Yes. Yeah.
But all that I ask is,
it's Gerrit Cole, isn't it?
No, he's definitely not picking Gerrit Cole.
I know, I'm just messing with him.
I do, and if it's too much cheating, that's fine. But I would like to just know the team, if that's possible. If that's too much, no, then you can just okay.
I think AL East is a plenty.
Okay,
and you know it's not the Yankees, and the Reds don't have a team.
All right, if you're gonna go a little crazy, I mean, it's not a Yankee. I already know you told me it's not a Red Sox.
It's not an Oreo.
It's got to be a Ray, and I'm just trying to think. I don't think you're crazy enough to say Shane Baz, but he's the only one that makes sense.
Nope, there's one more you're forgetting.
McClanahan.
Well, no, I mean, I'm thinking, I mean, McClanahan was on my mind. I think he would pick that. That's an interesting one.
Jose Berrios.
That's what I thought when you said AL East, but
I don't know. I'm thinking it was a Ray, but anyways, okay. I mean, my guess would have been Shane Boz just because, but
it is Shane McClanahan.
Okay. That's interesting. I'd like to, very unlikely, but not impossible.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear your thoughts.
So just going off what you said, I think very, very much why you picked Dylan Cease. I think the Rays are going to be the best team in AL East, which is,
yeah, I agree,
the hardest division in baseball ish, mm-hmm. hardest division yeah. in the AL.
Yeah, I mean it's in the discussion for yes. sure.
So I think this year they're going to pull the reins back on. They're going to let him go because last year he was on the pitch count. I mean the inning count.
And he's on the Rays count, man.
A what?
Yeah.
He's on the Rays count.
Yes, that's also an issue. I literally wrote down, but he's on the Rays with a frowny face.
So, I mean, I love your pick because he's extraordinarily talented. If he wasn't on the Rays, theoretically, if you were to put him on the Red Sox, just as an example, I think that his chances would be greater. However, if he were to get over 150 innings this season, just because he's on the Rays, I would be mildly shocked. Like he's probably more likely to throw 120 innings.
Yeah.
And he's going to compete with guys that are throwing 200 or, you know, maybe not even you're going to be compete with guys that are throwing 175, 180 innings. And, you know, his K rate, you know, might be right along, you know, the top of the league, but he's not going to have the innings. He's not going to get the wins. He's a great pitcher. And for fantasy purposes, if you were talking about who do we think is going to be the Cy Young,
yeah.
considering where you get them in the draft, mm-hmm. now Shane McClanahan all of a sudden becomes a very interesting option because there's a big difference between taking Gerrit Cole in the top 10 and taking McClanahan in the 120s.
Yeah.
So in real life, I don't see him actually winning the award. However, I do applaud you for going outside the box and getting a very good guess.
Right.
So,
I'm doing a good job tonight.
Yeah, you are. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. It's almost
pat like on the back.
I gave you the answer. So, all right. So let's give you a chance to look like a fucking retard here real quick. we're gonna go 2022 NL MVP. So the rookie of the year, you can say just about anything, and you can be right. Cy Young, a little bit tougher, but you know, you can get away with the McClanahan. You don't have the same leeway here, Nick. So let me have your division and let me see what I come up with.
NL East.
NL East. Okay. Oh boy, I hope you didn't pick my guy. You said you went out there a little bit. I'm going to say if you went NL East, I'm actually going to go with
it's someone I don't like. I've spoken ill of him in the past.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. All right. I'm going to go a little bit out there then.
Harper.
I'm going to stick with the Braves. Nah, it's hard because if you're saying it's out there. Okay. I will say not too far out there, but something that somebody would not necessarily think of. I'll say Ozzie Albies.
No. It's the right, same team.
Okay. Oh, please tell me you didn't pick my guy.
Austin Riley?
Okay. No, that was good. Austin Riley's fine.
Okay.
A little bit of Braves talk. Let's hear it.
Yeah. So first, I was wrong about Austin Riley.
Yeah, so was I, to be honest with you.
I didn't think it was possible, but
I think a lot of people were.
He actually hit for average last year, and yeah, he mashes.
Oh boy, we already got a fan. Apparently, they're still tuned in, and apparently, they're a Braves fan.
All right.
Do you actually know this girl or no?
Came for the Bachelor talk, stayed for the Braves talk.
Oh, my God. Yes, Nick, I know who that is. Of course I know who that is. Do you think random people just watch our show?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
But
we get Poppy and we get and that's
my cousin.
Yeah. Your cousin.
I think Olson being there is only going to make him better. I love Matt Olson. Consummate professional. Absolute hell of a ball player.
Hey, do me a favor and zip it with the Matt Olson talk.
Oh,
thanks. Thanks, Nick.
All right. Riley's going to hit 50 fucking bombs.
He's definitely not going to hit 50 bombs.
All right, I'm done with the Braves talk.
Yeah. I do honestly think that Riley's in for some regression, though. You won't see that average, I don't think, where it's at. No. Everything else, fine. Like, could he hit 50 home runs? Yes, he could hit 50 home runs. I think it's more likely he hits 50 home runs and he hits 300. But, you know, I think there's a regression to be had there. I think that it might be almost, and I hate to say this, but the best example I can give is I'm afraid that might be like a Chris Paddock situation where, you know, Chris Paddock had that year where he was just like, well, holy shit. Like, Chris Paddock kind of came from not necessarily nowhere, but
right.
Boy, he really outperformed his expectations. And Austin Riley is very similar. Austin Riley wasn't poorly thought of. It's just he wasn't going to ever do what he did last year until he did it. Well, same thing with Chris Paddock. And then all of a sudden we see Chris Paddock have a down season, and then Chris Paddock has a down season, and now we're not even sure if he's going to be in the rotation. That's my fear for Austin Riley. I think that's possible. Hold on a second. We got one of our dynasty writers, Drew Sperling. He says, what's up, F6P bros? You got to capitalize bros there, Andrew. Editors aren't going to like that. Great show. Say it, winning the NL Rookie of the Year, obviously. Love the Bachelor insight. Second to none. Drew, I don't know if you know this, but we have been discussing doing a in-season Bachelor podcast. I mean, not really, but if people will tune in.
If people want.
I
will do one Bachelor thing a week.
I am serious. I am serious with you. If you wish, I don't know when the next season starts. I will
post-show recap.
I will watch The Bachelor with you. What night is it on?
July.
It's on Monday nights. Okay, perfect. It's on Monday nights. It'll be fresh in our heads. We can do a couple minute Bachelor episode recap each week. If you want, I will do that for you.
So I don't watch it live.
Oh, well, you suck then. Moving on.
Then no one's going to want to watch a four-day-old cap.
Moving on to Matt Olson. Matt Olson is going to be my NL MVP, and I think it's kind of simple. I think Matt Olson is a pretty direct replacement to, I'm being talked out of The Bachelor.
Don't give in.
I'm being talked out of The Bachelor. Nick, you have some competition. If you want me to watch The Bachelor, it's either you or Rachel. It looks as though she is significantly better looking than you are. So you've really got to top whatever her offer is. Anyways, Matt Olson. I think that he goes from, you know, Oakland to Atlanta, and that is a drastic improvement for Matt Olson's situation. I have money on Matt Olson to not just win the NL MVP. I have money on Matt Olson to win the NL home run crown as well. Yeah. So if he's going to win the NL home run crown, he's going to be on a team that most likely is going to be in the playoffs again. It kind of leads you back towards who's the best player or best players on the best teams. I think Matt Olson is in that situation. I mean, you could go with a lot of guys. Yeah. But I'm going to say Matt Olson is a semi-hot take, but not really. Jason.
Yeah, like I said, the MVP is wide open. There's a couple guys you could go out there, and I actually went with a little bit of a favorite. I don't know what the exact betting odds are, but I'm going to go with Trey Turner.
Yeah.
Not just a fantasy producer, but also an actual real-life baseball producer. He's one of the top five – he's like one of the top five category producers. So, I mean, it's not like, you know, he's going to get you home runs, stolen bases. He's batting in a three-hole of the best lineup in baseball. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just got to follow the writing on the wall, man. You should have no problem going 30 for 30 and get you 200 plus, you know, RBIs plus runs. And let's be honest, I mean, that lineup is just stacked. I mean, he's got protection all around him. He'll be hitting above 300. I mean, it's got to be something, somebody's got to do something pretty crazy for him, you know, to not win it, which is, you know, there's other guys in that lineup too. I mean, Freddie Freeman could also outperform him. So, but I'm going to go with Trey Turner. I think he gets, you know, those five categories that, give them a little bit of an edge.
So just to give a little credence to what you said about being the top five category, player probably in baseball, really, mm-hmm. So I keep talking about betting. People are going to literally like start like texting me like helpline numbers. But I've got Trey Turner betting to win, leading the league in hits, leading the league in runs, and leading the league in stolen bases. He could win all three of those.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he really could. So, again, that speaks exactly to your point. And you've got a guy who also has got power. So it's not, you know, it's not like a Billy Hamilton situation where, yeah, he might steal 60 bags, but he's going to hit you two home runs.
Right.
I mean, Trey Turner could go 30 for 30, like you said. I mean, that's realistic while getting you 200 runs and RBIs. I mean, that's absurd. So, yeah, his ceiling is as high as anyone. All right, Nick, I kind of like going to you first. We're going to go last one. 2022 AL MVP. If you picked my guy, I'm going to be pissed and it'll really hurt your bathroom chances.
I think you know my guy.
I
tweeted my guy. I tweeted a gif of my guy.
This is going to be a surprise to you, but no. I do not have notifications turned on for you for Twitter.
Oh, no. I tweeted it at you.
That doesn't mean anything. Right. What's the team? I might remember if you
AL Central.
Oh yeah. AL Central. Well, AL Central's got to be a White Sox. I mean, who else could it be? Really?
What?
Oh, Byron Buxton.
Byron Buxton.
I've got my hopes. My TGFBI hopes are half riding on Byron Buxton. Cody Bellinger. Oh boy. Oh, Let's hear your Byron Buxton talk, man. Because there's a lot of pass to that avenue, man.
Before you guys say anything, I'm just going to say one thing. In his last 162 games.
Oh, he cherry picking.
Cherry picked.
All right. This is going to be, I mean, this will be a good stat, I'm sure, but this is ridiculous. But go ahead.
He batted 281.
Very good.
324, 592.
The 324 is not so hot, but.
Yeah.
41 homers.
Okay.
105 runs.
Mm-hmm.
95 runs batted in. This is not all, 95% from the leadoff spot.
Yeah.
With 19 stolen bases.
I don't know.
3 years.
I would say it's over the last 4 years, I'm sure.
And I'll tell you what, though, if he put up that exact stat line this year, I don't even know for sure that he wins the MVP. Though, like,
I don't know.
Those numbers aren't that. They're not that great. They're not like Hall of Fame great. They're good. But my guy has a much higher ceiling. However, I want to hear what Jason has to say.
Oh, unfortunately, Dave, I probably picked your guy. But
you be a son of a bitch.
I mean, hey, it's hard for me to go against my guy Ohtani.
Oh, but, no, I did not pick Shohei Ohtani.
No, I didn't either. I said it's hard to go against Ohtani.
Oh, I got excited for a second. Oh, if you
how do you the same how way, do you not pick Vladdy Guerrero Jr.?
I did not pick him on my wall.
Okay.
Oh, good.
I think he finally gets redemption from last year. I mean, let's face it. If it wasn't for Ohtani being a two-way player last year, Vladimir Guerrero was a runaway winner of that AL MVP last year.
He still was in consideration.
And that was
with probably Shohei Ohtani's best year of his entire career.
Right.
And the odds of Ohtani hitting and pitching both as well as he did last season for an entire year, I think are, I don't know, 20%. I mean, it seems unlikely, but you're talking dirty to me when you start talking about Vladimir Guerrero, man.
I mean, he's like 10 shy of 250 RBIs plus runs last year, 48 home runs. I think he had an OPS over 1,000. I mean, the guy got robbed, essentially. Like I said, if it wasn't for Ohtani being a two-way player, he wins that MVP last year. I think he does it this year. Because like you said, I don't think Ohtani can repeat what he did in 2021. So I think this is the year that Vladdy does finally – he continues that same what he's doing. I mean, he's not going to – I don't see much regression coming from Vladdy. So I think he finally gets that MVP this year.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I don't see any real reason to consider there to be regression there. I don't know how much room there is ceiling wise.
Right.
I mean, I guess there's a little, but yeah.
Not much. Yeah. I mean,
he's just at a different level than like an Austin Riley where it's like, oh boy, you know, you're worried. It's just, that's a different caliber player.
He's capable of getting a triple crown. If you get the triple crown, you're guaranteed almost the MVP. You know what?
I hope he gets a triple crown just because I would be staring at two triple crown winners on my wall. I got Miguel Cabrera to my right. and I got Vladimir Guerrero Jr. on my left. If I could, if there was, and I'll double check, but if I could bet, I don't know what the odds would be on him winning the Triple Crown, but they're probably pretty good. I would drop some cash on Vladimir Guerrero Jr. to win the Triple Crown, because that would be fucking awesome.
Yep.
My guy here, this is probably the one that's the most out there for me. I don't think it's ridiculous at all, because again, it follows along the lines of what I've said about best player on the best team.
It's Lou Bob.
You already know that I think the White Sox are going to dominate the AL. So it really came down to, you know, Dylan Cease, you know, is the most dominant pitcher. Who's going to be the most dominant on that offense? And you could probably go a couple different directions and not be, you know, not be too crazy. You know, Eloy Jimenez is possible. He's got a pretty good ceiling. Tim Anderson with his five category contributions. Theoretically, I could see him going absolutely ballistic. Jose Abreu is one of the most consistent power hitters in all of baseball. He could have a massive year. What's that?
And he just won the MVP. I think it was the shortened season, but still.
So I mean, you know, all of that's there. However, the guy that has the highest ceiling by a mile on that team is Luis Robert. Luis Robert literally could go 40-40. I mean, unlikely, but I mean, you know, it certainly could happen. I mean, if I look at Steamer, for example, Steamer's got him projected for 32 home runs, 91 RBIs, or I'm sorry, 91 runs, 93 RBIs, 14 stolen bases, hitting 283. So realistically, I could easily see him hitting 300 and going, you know, at least 20-20, maybe even 30-30 without too much trouble. I could see 100 runs. I could see 100 RBIs. He's on the best team in the American League. If he puts up, you know, numbers close to that, he's at least a consideration. Depends on, you know, what a guy like Vlad does. I mean, if, you know, if the Blue Jays win the East there and he puts up numbers close to what he did last year, it's going to be tough. But betting wise, Luis Robert, I think I got him at like plus 2,500 or something.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'd have to look, but it's something in that neighborhood. He wasn't in the top five, you know. He's down there a little bit, but you can't tell me that there's not a realistic path for him to win that award. He just has to stay healthy. That's obviously the number one thing. Got to stay healthy, and if he stays healthy, if he plays 145 games, it's very realistic to think he could put up numbers that are absolutely MVP worthy. So. All right, gents, it was a good show. It will be kind of fun. I don't know if one of you is capable of being the scribe for us and kind of maybe write down who we said, and it would be fun. Nick, you're nodding your head. You want to volunteer? You maybe write this down, and we'll take a look. We'll take a look at the All-Star break, and we'll see how we're looking. And then obviously, you know, once we get to the end of the year, we'll take a look and we'll just kind of see, you know, and it'll be interesting. So Nick, we'll go ahead and keep that down, and it'll be fun to take a look back at that. But I appreciate everyone that took the time to tune in and check us out. You know, would love to see in the comments if you feel strongly about anybody that we did not mention. I know that we talked about, you know, Julio Rodriguez, but it wasn't any one of our picks. You know, anyone else that you feel strongly about, you can either hit me up on Twitter, hit the guys up on Twitter, or go ahead and throw in the comments. Love to see what you got, because again, we will keep track. If you are right, we'll happily give you a shout out at the All-Star break. We'll give you a shout out at the end of the year. Let me know who you're dropping your cash on. Like, at the end of the day, I can say anything I want to, but what I bet on is what matters. So curious to see what you guys think. So again, appreciate everyone for tuning in, boys. The next time that we talk, we will be will we be away? We will be two days away from opening day.
Exciting stuff, boys. Can't wait.
All right. You guys enjoy the rest of the week, everyone. We'll see you then.
See you guys.